Married to Who?
Podcast. Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are those couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex. Terry is also here.
Hi.
This week, we're here to talk about... No, Terry, you don't talk about this. This week, we're here to talk about The Crotons, written by Robert Holmes, directed by Dave Maloney, aired December 28th, 1968 to January 18th, 1969.
And eaten by everyone worldwide on a nice salad.
Croutons! Boo.
Right, this name until we're dead.
Forever and always.
All right, amen. Well, that was a good pod, guys. See you next time.
I gave Matt at the Other Time or the Space podcast shit for saying that joke today, and you guys are just children. Before we begin,
anything to not talk about Doctor Who.
It is time for everyone's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 40-second plot synopsis. On your mark, and set, go.
Doctor and friends land on a planet, but that didn't quite happen yet. No, we did see that right away. It's in a quarry, and then there's the Gons. The Gons are trapped inside this building. They need to go into a dinotrope thing when they're selected by an envelope. Leader guys like you get the greatest honor of being murdered while they suck out your brain. It turns out that it's these weird little tetrahedral things whose names I can't remember. Oh, the Crotons. They suck out your memory and they're just trying to fly away. They killed everybody. They take the smartest so that you're perpetuating your own existence, and they die to sulfuric acid. The Doctor and friends leave.
Boomed them.
Time.
Sam was on point, eh?
I like to give him a count on occasion.
Oh no, you cheating motherfuckers.
That's the first time.
We gotta do in person. We gotta do in person now.
It's a countdown.
God, stop yelling.
See it too much. <Wednesday. laughs>
Sam, since you're a cheater, we have a game that we play. There's a list some nerds made in a magazine of Doctor Who stories. There's 150 some of them. Where do you think this one fell on that list?
50.
Cody?
75.
Terrence?
Oh, weird name. 54.
Sorry, Tatters.
It's your actual name.
I know.
Legally, his name is Tatters.
You guys don't call me that.
How are you getting louder, Sam?
Just living my best life.
You can't contain her power.
I don't want to, but just gotta get my shit right over here. It's not your fault. Okay. Jill?
I also wanted 75, so I'll go with an 82.
Alex?
78.
Sam, I figured out the problem. I was turning down Jill and Alex, not you.
Ta-da!
God, you're so bad.
I can't keep up with all your dumb names in fucking Discord that you change every other day.
It's you. The picture is literally Cody.
It's so small. I don't know what Cody looks like.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Holy shit.
But I don't think that Alex has changed his Discord picture in a half decade.
Yeah,
that,
it's been a while.
That was a streaming one back when he streamed on Twitch.
Did everyone go? Alex, what did you say?
78. You may not have been able to hear me.
Well, now you're all loud. Well, Jill, I believe you are the closest, because it is 128.
What? Oh,
wow.
Oh, geez. Direct.
I thought it
does not deserve
way
that.
Higher.
Yeah.
I think I'm on the side of the fans on this one.
There's worse ones, Jake.
Yeah. Lots worse. Did you see that, Moody?
Yeah, plus that donk. That's like 50 points right there.
Zoe, guys, miniskirt carrying 20 episodes.
Every time it got close, Alex is like, ooh, like just waiting. He's like, oh, she crossed her legs.
You're going to let the cookies
out. And then she'd start to bend. He's like, oh, okay. Whew. Camera pan.
Playing with fire.
I didn't even notice that Alex put a picture on Discord.
Yeah, you didn't, did. Yeah,
you, how do you, you know?
You lying bitch.
Actually, I was going through my DVDs because I wanted to watch the making of featurette. I don't own this one. And I don't remember ever seeing it before. This might have been my first time seeing it.
Oh, shit.
So I watched it last night and then I watched it again today because last night I was not paying attention. And then when I watched it today,
furiously masturbating.
It is.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know at all. She had a short skirt on. No idea.
It is the kind of story that I hate the most. Which is just like inner bickering between some faction that's over like who the leader is. That they all look the same and I don't care about any of them. And then there's like some monster and who cares.
But Jake, you mean the Doctor Who trope? The Doctor Who stories?
There's going to be so many more of those.
There are less minutes in this story of that than other stories that focus on that. Just because it was four episodes. Right. So it's inherently better.
Yeah, I'm not saying those other ones are worse, or I mean, are better than this one. Just saying this was also bad.
Yeah.
What did you think, Jake?
That we just did that part. What'd you think, Cody?
I thought it was great.
Care to elaborate?
No. As long as there are no follow-up questions. It was dog water. We'll get into it.
Spoiler for the end of this podcast. Nobody tweeted us.
We got
a lot of likes and retweets, but nobody wanted to respond except for Matt saying something about croutons.
I thought that I had heard about this episode before, so I thought it was going to be rated higher. But maybe it's just the name.
Just yesterday or the day before, I edited our episode on something. I edited one of our earlier episodes, and in it, I kept saying, oh man, the next three episodes are bangers. You guys are going to love these next three. I did not mean this one. I didn't know this one was part of the next three. I meant Mind Robber and the Invasion and War Games, and the next two aren't War Games either. It's way out there still.
Remember in New Who where you like could name every single episode as it came out? Like, you know them all.
Oh, I've watched New Who a lot more and there's a lot less of them. Oh, that might not be true anymore, but Sam, what'd you think of this?
It was only four episodes, like that, we can't be happy.
Heck yes. Rated it high for that.
Gonna be a while before that happens again.
It's going to be
actually,
a while.
I didn't even bother looking up the next one. Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
Can I ask you a fashion question?
Sure.
How come only the female character's pants had like a little pubic line right over her crotch that made it look like she was naked?
A design choice. So you know they're females. I don't know.
Her pants, everyone was wearing exactly the same thing, except that her pants had a black stripe that went from vagina to butthole.
It was weird.
You noticed that.
It was a choice.
But not the mini skirt.
Yeah, well, it made me think of the Absorbaloff in Love and Monsters.
What?
In Love and Monsters, the Absorbaloff has like a mohawk, but the... If you look at the character, it only ever like runs by the screen really quickly, but its hair goes all the way down its back and wraps around its taint and like covers up its genitals.
Oh, yeah.
Remember talking about this.
That's so gross. So gross.
What a monster.
It's probably just to like cover the zipper.
All right. 10 minutes in, I've said vagina to butthole and taint in. So I think we're good. We just went out. What'd you think of this one, Terry?
I enjoyed it. It was fast-paced. The names of the Gons were very difficult. Yeah. After a while, it's like, dear God, they're all just like, change one letter and that's it. Like, kill them off faster if they were not so stupid. But I thought the design of the Crotons was really fun. I love the spinning heads. And then just introducing new science to the Gons. Hearing the Doctor being called Dr. Gond and him getting angry about that was really fun. So there were like fun elements of comedy in there, but the Elec character, like, he was helpful in getting them back in, like, for the plot, but otherwise the whole inner struggle was kind of stupid.
You want to know what the funniest part of the episode was, or the story?
What?
When the Doctor's running through the quarry with his umbrella and he's like dancing from rock to rock. In the background, Jamie just like shoulder checks Zoe and she almost falls over. Yes! And then they start walking towards the Doctor. She's like, got her hands out, like, what the fuck? Like, it's a little dangerous. Like, I'm sure there's like loose rocks and stuff. And he's just like, bam, he weighs twice as much as her and he's just slamming into her. Oh,
God.
They had to go all the way out to that quarry to shoot them coming out of the TARDIS and then going back in, which I don't even know if they showed them going back in. And then that one shot, they had to be at that quarry all day, so I'm sure they're bored out of their minds.
I thought there was quite a bit of quarry stuff, no?
I don't think so.
I mean, they went...
Maybe some studio to look like quarry.
Picked rocks. Those are the only two
I can remember anyway.
Every time they went like to that outside door to like catch someone coming through the crouton machine...
Yeah, that was studio made to look like Corey.
Really? Interesting.
Think so.
Uno reverse card.
Jill, what'd you think?
I was into it for the first 2.5 episodes, and then I quit caring. So that's what I thought.
I feel that.
Yeah, like, it's always fun to like see the Doctor and Jamie and Zoe together-ish. Yeah, they were mostly together. Like, that was interesting. I don't know. I just got over it. It just felt like it was kind of just the same thing that wasn't really leading anywhere. But it was enjoyable enough.
Alex, what is, without a doubt, no conversation needed, the best part of the episode?
Oh my God, I know. I'm raising my hand. Yeah. I know it.
I'm going to give Alex another 10 seconds.
I don't know where you're going with this. Oh, is it the dead lady? Like, she looked like a doll? That was crazy.
Oh, we're going to get there. No, it's in the first episode. It's one of our favorite things.
Is it the metallic snake tube that came out of the wall?
No, it's Jamie just deciding to fight that dude one-on-one without a weapon.
Oh, that was awesome. Like, without an axe.
Like, and they hand him a weapon. He's like, no.
Won't be needing that. But then all he does is disarm him, and he's like, well, I beat you, bitch. And right. Just walks back over.
And then he just goes into the Crotan building.
Yeah.
Basically... Like, they repeatedly call him a moron. He basically destroys one of them and escapes. Just all on his own the whole second half of the story.
Yeah, Jamie's incredible.
He's the best.
He's so good. Like, when that whole thing was happening, I looked over at Jill. I was like, Jamie may not be, like, book smart, but he's street smart. Look at this shit. And then it was at the time he's picking up, like, the mica chunk to, like, unlock the door. Oh, so good.
Why do I feel like... Jamie always feels like he's in prison and has to like beat up the biggest guy right away to show he's dominant.
Bloodlust.
because he's dumb. he has to have other attributes, otherwise he wouldn't be there anymore.
I thought we were going to get a way better fight scene, but it was like two swings and then just like an arm struggle.
Yeah, limited space and...
Yeah.
Just like, I'm just going to hold your wrists for... 20 seconds, and then you're going to fall over exhausted.
Zoe got to flip that guy at least 8 times when she was in a fight, so.
Should have been a 6-parter.
Yeah.
Zoe flipping up to this day.
All right, Alex, what did you think of this one?
I thought it was fine. Like, it wasn't incredible, but it wasn't as bad as 120. Like, that seems a little egregious. It was four episodes, went along at a fast clip. You got the incredible Zoe outfit. And then, like, the part with Zoe and the doctor together was really fun for me because they're both just super smart and figuring it out, whereas, like, Jamie's off on his own getting captured. I thought that was fun. Mm-hmm. That was cool. We don't get that often.
It was at 128 on the 50th anniversary poll. It was 18 spots lower on the 35th anniversary poll. It was 146.
Man, people like, be sleeping 10. On these croutons. And their heads freaking spun. That was incredible.
It's kind of creepy.
It was so cool.
The company they hired to make the costumes for the crotons totally fucked it up and got the scale wrong. So you could see only in a couple shots, basically when the guys wearing the costumes you could see their whole body. The costume only goes down to their mid-thigh, and it's supposed to go all the way to the ground.
Oh, yeah, I did notice that.
And so they had these, rubber tarps that they just put around them like skirts.
Yeah.
And it looks terrible. There's only, like, one real strong shot that I saw where you could tell.
I also really like the special effects in this one. Like, all of the cool, like, melting metal effects and, like, the the Space Odyssey when Zoe and the Doctor were getting mind-melded. Where like it went like fisheye and like went real abstract and weird. Like this episode is cool, guys.
I think one issue that people might have is that it's very similar to the Dominators, and that was only like two episodes ago, or three stories ago.
What happened in that one?
Yeah, definitely remember that.
Everything is like everything. I don't know.
Jill, that's what I just posted. Jill, you love the Dominators and you're mad at all of us for not liking it.
I believe you.
But it's basically like there's an alien force that can't find anyone smart enough on the planet. The planet's a bunch of like people bickering over whether or not they should act. They're a bunch of passives. And the Doctor shows up and the aliens realize it's a intelligence, and then they like recruit the Doctor and the Doctor destroys
them. Yep.
It's the same thing.
It is similar, but this one I thought was interesting that the croutons were basically in like cyber sleep until the Grons could evolve enough to be smart enough to fuel their rocket. Like that was
no brains.
That was kind of cool.
But they can't use chemistry because then they'll be able to kill the crotons.
Right. Because they're surrounded by sulfur apparently.
Anyway, so back to what you brought up. This lady, I didn't realize it until the second time I watched it just now. What's her name? Van Gond? Or just Van?
Vanna.
Vanna. She must have been hired because, like, in the first two stories, she's, like, knocked out and, like, all dazed and everything. Yeah. And they're like, holy shit, this chick's great at this dead-eyed stare.
Look dead.
Turns out that's all she could do. She
holy.
Putting on an affectation. In that last episode, when she's just emoting, acting at all, there is nothing happening in her face or eyes at all.
Cody thought her eyes were painted onto her eyelids because her stare was so wide.
It was so creepy. Dead.
There were other... Okay, what type of thing was she?
A Gond?
Yeah. Like, all the Gond's eyes were, like, amazing. Like, how... I was asking Alex, I'm like, are they wearing contacts? Like, is that a thing then? Like, what were they doing?
Eyeliner.
Oh, no, yeah. Like they're actual like pupils, though.
Well, and then
drugs.
Yeah, they're all on cocaine.
Like, were color contacts a thing? Like, really, their eyes were all just insane.
Well, and then you noticed that the leader Grand dude like was blinking real, like a lot. Every other syllable was him blinking with his face. It was.
They were doing crazy. So much stuff with their eyes.
Yeah.
They're like, we're stuck in one room. How can we act more?
Did they switch like cameras or camera angles or something on this? Because it felt like there's just so much more detail to this story than previous. Like,
I mean, David Maloney's one of the better Doctor Who directors, but looked pretty normal to me.
I thought like just the detail and everything. Like I was talking about like the croton's head spinning and like there were a lot of just, like, different angles and different, like, I feel like the costumes were especially noticeable. Like, they, to me, they seemed a lot more detailed. Like Jamie's tie and whatever else.
Oh, Jamie was decked out with like furs and like a tie, bolo tie type thing.
Yeah, he had a fur vest on and a necktie, not a bolo tie.
Yeah.
And then Zoe
had a scarf.
Yeah.
A handkerchief thing.
Zoe's been wearing scarves. It's like her thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just felt more detailed.
Jamie's worn furs a lot, hasn't he?
Yeah, his vest is normally fur-lined.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his, but I've never seen him wear a necktie.
Mm-mm.
This is Married to Who's Deep Dive into Jamie's Vest, episode 4. Hey,
most R2 podcasts do a lot more than that.
Oh, no. But that's why we're so popular, is we don't do that.
You see, yeah. This fur...
Because we don't talk about Doctor Who.
Well, we're talking about things in this episode that don't really relate to the episode. The sound effects are so bad. When do we get rid of all the shit-ass sound effects?
That's not new.
That's
like 2005?
I don't even notice them.
It's always been here. It's a dude clicking sticks together.
They're painful and so repetitive. Like, we get it. We're smart people, I think. Maybe. Watching.
Give us an example.
I don't know. It's just a lot of like repetitive sounds that aren't like, it's not music. They don't have a soundtrack. It's just like repeated sounds throughout. Well, it's so annoying.
It's the radiophonic workshop. So it's like, it's electronic noises that are like in their vault that they can use so that they don't have to hire someone to write music.
Well, if they could at least have three different audio tapes for the sound of something spraying, that'd be great. No, please stop.
Oh, God, the fog machines. So much fog.
The umbrella? What's
wrong with fog? It's like, so I feel like at this era of television, fog machines were the RGB LEDs.
No, it's fine. But like, after every death, like that fog, I swear, it just went longer and longer and longer every time. It's like, okay, that first death was like, fog, dead, out. Like, that was perfect. Next, it was just like, here's 30 seconds of fog. Oh, wait, okay, he's gone.
We've talked about this before. The longer you're in the episode, the longer your death scene. You get more fog.
Ah, yeah, the higher you are in the call sheet.
I don't know. There was one rando gond that was just, like, on the stairs for no reason and died, and it was a long fog, so...
Talk about people that died for no reason. I thought that... leader dude that like stole the jug at the end and like Indiana Jones to under the door to like get it to the doctor. He was such a boss. And then like he immediately just died when he gets in there. It's like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
That's classic story writer. Like the only gond that you could kind of give a crap about was him. That guy was trying to be tactical, following Sun Tzu's art of war all the way through. Everybody else was bloodthirsty and mad. He's like, nah, I have a plan. This plan's better. Trust the plan. And they're all crazy. And he's tactical. And he saved all the Gons and died for it. And they thought we would feel a fucking thing. And we didn't, because he's still a Gond. And why do we want him to live anyway? Like, it's just... There's no love for the Gons here.
Did that scientist at the end try to hoard in on that couple, try to make it a thruple?
Beta?
So they're like the only three people left in the world that are excited about the new world.
That's because they have to repopulate the wasteland, Jake. Sometimes you need a thruple.
Poor Vanna.
Eek.
No, in the Gons, the males are the ones that reproduce, so she's going to have some fun.
Hell yeah.
That black stripe is a giant zipper for her.
Oh, Jesus. Because she's packing.
Well, that's this podcast is so far 8 minutes long because I've edited out everything else.
Shift on. This is a family-friendly podcast.
Oh.
Whose family?
The average American family.
Oh, no.
Most of our listeners are British.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I mean that, yeah.
preferred. Have you had a, oh God, what was it called?
The jammy dodger?
With the jelly in it. A jammy dodger.
Oh, speaking of, let's take this time to talk about me, Jill, and Alex went to Gallifrey 1 last week.
Yeah! Thank you. That's all I want to talk about. Who cares about this dumb story?
There's one stand a week ago that was selling jammy dodgers.
Really?
In packages. Why anyway, did they buy
Gallifrey
any?
1's the biggest and longest running Doctor Who convention in the world. It's in Los Angeles. Me, Jill, and Alex went there last week. Jill, how was it for you?
It was a lot better. I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected. All the panels were super cool. Like, I don't know, they're just real people talking about Who sometimes. Actually, like, my complaint with some of the panelists was that they didn't talk about Who enough. Because, like, move on from the other things you did. I didn't care. But, like, it was just cool to hear all, like, a lot of it was, like, about character development and that type of thing. And it's really neat to hear. Like, Rachel Talalay was by far my favorite. Even over Alex Kingston, surprisingly.
And she did a lot of panels on different things.
She did, but like all of her like insight was so cool, and just like hearing people casually talking about like working with Steven and like obviously meaning Steven Moffat, and I don't know, it's just a different world, but it gave me like a different perspective of Doctor Who. Like, they all clearly love it, which I don't imagine is true for all of the work they do. I mean, they talked about other work that they did that they didn't connect to and didn't care about. I don't know, it was way better than I would have imagined.
Yeah, I should say the guest of honor was Derek Jacobi, Billy Piper, Camille Kuduri, Alex Kingston, Rachel Talalay, and Jacqueline King were kind of the big Doctor Who guests. Oh, and Fraser Hines was there briefly.
Oh, Jacqueline King was Waterhouse. Super fun, too.
She was.
All of her panels were... Go
ahead. I interrupted you just so the listeners would know who was there.
All of her panels were super engaging. I forgot where I was going. What I thought was cool about it, as you know, being not, I wouldn't consider myself a Doctor Who fan. I like New Who, not into Old Who, but it is cool to just like see people getting together. Like, they clearly get together once a year, like just to completely nerd out on something that they all love. And I always think that culture is like just fun to be a part of. Like, even if I'm not in that culture, it's cool to see how many people like care enough about Doctor Who and connect only on Doctor Who. Like, they don't have other things in common other than getting together to
it's
nerd
fun
out
to see joy, whether it's something you participate in or not, just to see that many people having a good time.
But the panels all were like a lot of fun. Like, I wouldn't have expected to say I would go back, but I would go back.
Did you buy anything?
I bought a purse.
Oh, the purse looks so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like a really subtle police box purse. I think that's all I bought. Some Girl Scout cookies. Anything else?
Oh, yeah.
Beers.
Yeah, you bought Girl Scout cookies, but not Jammy Dodgers?
Yeah, I don't remember seeing them the second time I went through.
Buying the Jammy Dodgers doesn't go to charity. Or I guess, are the Girl Scouts really a charity anymore?
I don't think so.
I feel weird about it. I just wanted some cookies.
But that was one smart girl. Be like, hey, there's going to be 2,000 people at this thing. Let's go. They're all nerds and they're all hungry.
We didn't really like watch any cosplay. Like, there was some like going on, but like, man, people get into it. Like, there were just some insane.
There were
like,
some good ones too.
Day after day, like decked out in different things. Yeah. That was crazy.
Like, we saw, what's the skin flap? What's her name?
Ooh. Cassandra.
Cassandra.
It's definitely skin flap.
We saw Cassandra. We saw like some really good, just David Tennant.
Someone made a really good Cassandra and had like the whole, like the person was dressed as like the person that sprays her.
Yes.
Like the moisturizer person.
That picture was so good.
Yeah. And he would let people come up and use the sprayer so they could get their like selfies with it and everything. And it was cool.
Yeah.
There are a couple Daleks complete with like voice changers and like the person. They're like remote controlled. The person running would be like 20 feet away talking, so you wouldn't know. And there's a couple canines, I think you said you saw a
Cybermats.
Cybermat?
Yeah. I mean,
there's one chasing Alex around. Yeah, it's really cool. People are real creative.
Yeah, they got like these big old, like big canine, like fully operational and just running it off like an Xbox controller. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, there was one person who had a huge Davros panel or like enclosure.
Yeah.
That they were rolling around in.
Yeah, it was
cool
like
too.
Someone in a scooter that like decked out their scooter. Be Davros. Was neat.
How do you get that? Like they, all of those people that have those things have to live there, right? Like they didn't like travel with that. Like, can you imagine trying to check a Dalek? Like, what the fuck?
All those people go to Chicago TARDIS in the fall, and so they could share all their.
So they drive.
Cosplay then.
They must drive then.
Oh, probably. What was your favorite stuff, Alex?
Ooh, favorite stuff. I gotta say, like all of what Jill had said as far as people and panels was awesome. But Akinola was really good. And they did a rewatch, or not a rewatch, they did commentary a watch along of
Village of the Angels.
Village of the Angels, yes. That was really fun. It was a good time. And like he was describing like the music and the process and like what he does. It was cool. It was very neat. And then
wash my hands in the bathroom right next to Sagan Akinola. So if anyone out there was wondering, Sagan Akinola washes his hands.
I was wondering, Jake, thank you.
Yeah, there was also the, like, yeah, the cosplayers were really good. There was a really good Donna Noble walking around.
There were a couple good Donnas.
There was really good, like a bunch of really good, David Tennant's doctors walking around with the whole jacket and everything.
Oh yeah, nerd boys love the David Tennant costumes.
It was really good.
I went and got an autograph from Jacqueline King. She's the only one I went to get an autograph from, and she was great. But this lady in front of me had a Tasha Lem costume that was awesome, and she's like the only person I actually had to like, excuse me, your costume's awesome, and I just had to tell her. She was also standing directly in front of me for like 15 minutes, so it was easier. Yeah, I got an autograph from Jacqueline King. I went to an autograph, and she was awesome. Like, she sat there and talked to everybody. Like, she didn't have crazy long lines like Billy Piper did. So she was just super smiley and wanted to know stuff from everybody. At the end, I was like, well, here's my thing. My name's Jake. She's like, oh, you want me to sign this? I'm like, yeah, I gotta go, man. We were talking for like 5 minutes. And then I was like, oh, I look forward, or I'm excited for your panel later. She's like, oh, am I doing something today?
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, it's in like an hour. Oh, great. But they did, her and Camille Kaduri were both awesome. Like, they did a panel together as like the moms. And Jacqueline King was great. Her stories were like always spot on. Camille Kaduri didn't remember anything about Doctor Who, so she just told dirty jokes the whole time and just got the crowd going. Billy Piper must have been on Quaaludes through her entire 2 years of Doctor Who, because she doesn't remember a fucking thing.
Oh, no.
Like, it was like 20 years ago now that she was filming that first season. But people ask her questions, she's like, I don't know. she would remember the clothes. That was about it.
It sounded like it was pretty rough, too, because they did a lot of night shoots, and she absolutely hates night shoots.
She was like 22 years old. Yeah. She's fucking up all night. She could handle it.
She was a very just interesting person, like not a great panelist, but like was like twitchy the whole time. And like, I don't know,
yeah, she's
has Tourette's
fidgety.
Maybe. It was interesting.
But my favorite part was while you guys were at the Billy Piper panel, they had Fraser Hines did his panel in a smaller room, and he got done so dirty. Because they put his panel at the same time as Billy's. So his panel had 42 people in it. And Billy's had like 1,200.
Yeah.
And he mentioned at the end, he like pointed at the woman who was like escorting him around and telling him where to go. She's like, oh yeah, she told me as I was walking in that this was at the same time as Billy Piper's. So thank you for coming. I'm so happy anyone was here at all. But anyone who's seen the DVDs or seen Fraser Hines interviews knows that that dude just tells stories. They're all things that would get you canceled now, and he has no problem just talking for an hour in front of 40 or 10 or 1,000 people. It doesn't matter. So that was awesome.
It was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we went golfing in February. That was fun.
In the rain?
Went to some extremely expensive restaurants accidentally.
Okay, but the tacos.
I saw that picture of a bottle of wine on the table. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that...
That was your birthday dinner, though.
That was my birthday. We did go a little hard. It was good. It was a really good steak. And Jill got a Chilean sea bass.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, and we got, man, lobster mash.
Ooh, yeah.
Is the most incredible thing I've ever eaten. It was so good.
Dang, you had all the food was so mash. Good.
Just go to Los Angeles to eat stuff.
Like mashed potatoes?
Yeah, with lobster and like a creamy sauce. Like, what was the sauce? Like a bisque or something?
Yeah, it was like a lobster bisque with huge lobster chunks mixed in with mashed potatoes. It was...
And it was like a shareable side for like $12.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Like you would hate that. You don't even
I might
like,
hate it.
You don't
I
even
don't know.
You don't like any texture in your potatoes.
Oh, so good.
Because you're four.
You like to drink your potatoes?
Yes. No, my mashed potatoes are amazing. Oops. I will destroy you all.
Hey, I like them dirty.
I like.
I know. I made mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving this year. They're pretty dope.
Any mash is good mash for me. I love mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Me. Two.
All right, so next year we're going to do Chicago TARDIS. We'll report back in about a year.
Heck yeah.
Back to the Crotons.
No.
Did you guys know that this story has the most title drops of any Doctor Who story with 72?
What?
That is, number of times in the episode, somebody says the title of the story.
Oh, I see. That's pretty easy when it's titled after the antagonist.
Pretty easy, yeah.
I don't know. Even in other episodes, people aren't like, the Cybermen, the Cybermen,
the But there's Cybermen. No story called the Cybermen.
Yeah.
If they would just title a Dalek episode Exterminate, I bet they could.
Oh, yes. There you
defeat
go.
That.
That's yeah. a good example.
Trying to think of ones coming, because it's not like the Zygons. It's called Terror of the Zygons, or like it's not. That's my only example.
The writer knew what they did when they put the title on this. He got to the end. He's like, "All right, what do we call it?"
Oh, it wasn't the writer. It was the script editor. It had a different title at the time.
Ooh. But
for how much this story sucks, it's written by maybe the best Doctor Who writer of all time, Robert Holmes. This is the first, like, full story we get from him. And it's edited, or script edited by Terrence Dix. Only his second story is script editor. They will have many, many collaborations together over the next 10 years of Doctor Who.
Sick.
Yeah.
Like, I have nothing to say about this episode. this story.
Well, I mean, it's kind of clever. All right. Uno reverse card. On my mentality here, I'm gonna pretend like the episode is fucking great, right? So like, the Crotons come in here and they create this chemical disaster that turns everything into a wasteland.
Do you need another 40 right? seconds?
Well, hold on, and they did that to defend themselves though, because they were under attack.
The Crotons were under attack.
Yes, the Grand when they landed, the Grand attacked them, so they made it rain acid or whatever.
There's
okay,
no R.
Okay. No, I'm still working on this Uno reverse card. It doesn't matter that it's we can't fucking get behind the protagonist because they're violent pieces of shit, all right? We're going to believe that we are here for their plight.
Everyone is bad in this story, is the moral of the story.
They're all bad, but it's a neat concept that seems like the writer went outside of the comfort zone and was either a chemist themselves or got some information from folks that knew what the fuck they were doing, because sulfuric acid, besides the fact that it's corrosive to everything, does indeed break down tellurium, and the fact that these things are all utilized in tandem to create a story arc in which this is the defining opus of the protagonist to kill the bad guy is kind of neat. It's not really neat. It's I'm doing opposite, but it's kind of neat.
Remember when they had a bottle of whatever it was and the lady was like touching it? The doctor's like, don't touch that. It will murder you. And he like took a big whiff out of it.
A big old
with
sniff.
His nostrils.
And then he touched Zoe's butt with it.
That was funny.
Oh, but Jake didn't notice how she
Yeah, Jake didn't notice that.
The melting of
well, by that point, Alex face. Had already posted his picture.
Oh, okay.
The Remember melting of the proton face was cool.
When they were outside with the smoke guns and the doctor used an umbrella?
Yeah, he like dodge rolled away. He
to prevent scurried. The smoke guns from getting them?
Yeah.
It could have been like a vibranium umbrella.
It, sure. It burnt holes in parts of it.
Yeah, because it's such a strong smoke. But it's a good thing he had the umbrella.
So like the third time they go out there, before the guns shoot off, like a rock falls. Who's putting that rock back in there to hide these guns?
Yeah.
I need answers to these questions.
There are no answers to these questions.
I also like how...
Yeah?
The doctor and Zoe are the high brains, and then Jamie's, like, left behind.
Just a low brain. Just a smooth brain.
Ooh, I should change my Discord name.
Low brain. He'd be fucking king on whatever this planet's called.
Oh, yeah.
He would be top gunned in a month. Poor Jamie. For fun.
But also the fact that Zoe is high brain. With the doctor, I
Why
think
would
is
Zoe
pretty...
not be high-brained? She's brilliant.
Because like, Zoe asks if the architecture of the city was Incan, even though they're not on Earth. This planet has two suns. It's a different planet.
Okay, but, like, humans traveled, Jake.
These aren't humans.
Yeah, right. On. Like, yeah.
Their women Zoe's have dead eyes.
She traveled.
Space travel.
Their women have dead eyes.
Holy shit. You can't. You're canceled. I'm ratioing this podcast.
It's I thought over. It was funny that the croutons were like looking at all of these, like when they awoke and then they saw that there was the doctor, Zoe and Jamie. They're like, these aren't grand. These aren't grand. And they're like trying to figure out what's going on. It's like maybe they took over the grand and we need to kill them or something, like whatever. Like what? What may, like how do they know they're not grand? Because they look very grand. If grand looked like grand, you know, like there's not a big difference.
They looked at Zoe's eyes and saw a soul.
The grands of they're like this. These aren't grand. Look at their way they're dressed. That was it. That's all they needed.
No black stripe.
You see someone dressed strangely, and you're like, clearly that's an alien. other than their clothing, they look exactly like me in every way. They must be an alien.
Just going to toss this out there. It's gond. There's no R.
Good. Go ahead and...
Terry, go to hell.
Go ahead and edit that through the entire podcast.
Makes it worse. If they were gronds, it would be better. But.
No, it's better if we get it wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
When I post this, I'll be able to tweet out, new episode's up. It takes us 42 minutes to realize we've been saying their name wrong the whole time.
No. You post it, you're like, we all know this episode is dog ours. Go ahead, listen to it, because we don't talk about it. Talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, obviously.
Well, here's the thing. We could have gotten away with it if it weren't for this whole segment of talking about how we got it wrong, because no one else apparently watched this episode or story. Yeah.
No one wants to watch this.
Look, nobody would have called us out.
Yeah. Come on, Perfect. Terry.
So, would it make you feel better to know that the Crotons were written with the intent of replacing the Daleks as the Doctor's main nemesis?
I was going to say that, and then we started talking about something else. I was like, they kind of remind me of Daleks.
They're so cowardly and pathetic, though.
They never appear again.
They're high brains.
High brains.
Yes, they melted.
They have the clamps.
Well, but there's a whole society of them somewhere, Terry.
Oh, yeah. They show up in an audio story. And I think in a novel, but never on TV again.
Yes.
The writer, Robert Holmes, envisioned them when he was writing them as like kind of silvery, crystalline humanoids. And then the costume designer was like, nah, I'm going to make them robots.
Could maybe do that now. Probably not back in the day. Not well.
Hey, new stories are being written every day. Never know. We might see them again.
Are they? It feels like it's been a long time since a new story was...
Written. It's been 2 months.
There's a whole season apparently done that we haven't seen yet.
Almost two of them.
Boom.
Yeah, apparently new companions.
Apparently today they're getting ready in season 2 to use Ruby Sunday's apartment again. So they're shooting some more stuff with Ruby, even though she was apparently replaced on the show.
Oh, you got to get that.
Maybe she was murdered and they're investigating her murder.
They want everyone else in that.
Or she regenerated into the new lady playing the companion, and so she still goes back there because she's still the same person.
Maybe they just want to visit the grandma.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just the doctor just wants to go see her.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was it? Sunday, right? Is that her name?
Cherry.
Cherry.
Sunday's last name.
Yeah, that's right. I think
such
that's
a good
right.
character.
Could be wrong.
So, as I said, I don't have the DVD for this one, so I couldn't watch the documentary. But David Maloney calls this story a disaster. He's the director.
Nice.
But he blames himself. He says the script was good. Frasier Hines said he didn't care for it. And Terrence Dix, the script editor, said he thinks the story's good, but that the monster let the story down. They were useless and non-threatening.
Yeah, they could only kill them with the smoke guns. Find a new way.
Turns out you can't just make new Daleks just by wanting to.
Well, also, they were, like, they're not effective. One had to pilot the other when it was outside of the ship or whatever. Like, it was so, like, that part of it was bad. If they're going to be ruthless killers, they got to be able to kill on their own, you know?
Yeah. It would only take one Dalek to kill a whole world of Cybermen.
Right.
Takes four Crotons to fire up their ship.
Huge flaw.
This was supposed to be Frasier Hines' last story, or at least the story that was supposed to be in this spot. This story is actually supposed to be the finale, but it got moved up because it was done, and the story that was supposed to be here wasn't. So maybe that's also why the story was a little off. Maybe if it had been the finale, it could have been worked on for a few more months. But it went, and Frasier Hines was supposed to be done. He was going to be replaced by a male companion named Nick, but he decided to stay on until Patrick Troughton left.
Oh, they were going to pick up another stupid person.
Oh, no.
Out of the Grons.
Well, it would have ended up being Grons. It wasn't the original plan because this wasn't supposed to be the story at this part. There's this thing in 1981 called The Five Faces of Doctor Who. In between season 18 and 19, they did like they showed one story from each doctor to like during the break, like in the summer. And this is the one they picked for the second doctor because it was the only existing four-part story that they had at the time.
Ugh.
So like, well, it sucks. Like all the other doctors got like fan favorites. And then they're like, and the Crotons. Because War Games is 10 episodes long, so we're not doing that.
Ugh. When is
cowards.
That one?
Later.
Ugh.
I like to look at the ratings for all the stories. We've been in a bit of a down slump lately. But episode one had 9 million viewers. It was the 28th of December, just a couple days after Christmas. So everyone's probably sitting at home celebrating with their families and the TV's just on. Episode two, 8.4 million. Episode three, 7.5. Episode four, 7.1. A steady 22% decline from top
big,
to bottom.
Big, big wowie.
Hey, Alex.
Saw it, dude.
Who's your MVP?
Oh, I'm gonna go with... I'm gonna go with Zoe. She was serving and acting.
Wendy Padbury?
Yeah, it was great.
She did say she hated that costume.
I wonder why.
No, not because of the shortness of the skirt. She loved miniskirts. They were brand new at the time. And she was hot. It was because it was made out of PVC and it kept breaking.
I thought I saw in a scene, like when the ceiling all fell down, I thought her shoulder was like all ripped open. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then the next scene, it was fine. I was like, okay, I must have made that up then.
Jill, who's your MVP?
I'm torn. I'm tempted to give it to the costumer because I thought there were just cool things going on. But like Zoe's skirt was so distracting.
So plus one to customer.
In not a good way.
Minus one for the Crotons.
I like the Crotons. I thought they were cool.
And it was really the builders that they hired, the prop people that screwed them up.
But, okay, I take it back. I really did like just the different camera angles, and like I thought this episode was unique in that way, or this story. So I guess that'd be director, huh?
David Maloney. One of the best. And in a second, I will tell you what else he's directed. So it's David Maloney. He directed The Mind Robber, which we liked, and he will do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He'll do 7 more stories before he's done. Or 6 more, and then he did like some reshoots on another one. Terry, why don't you go next?
I also choose Wendy Padbury. I loved her chemistry on camera, and then just playing with the doctor and their quick, witty remarks back and forth to each other. I thought she just had great presence on the screen.
Sam, who's your MVP?
Good old Deadeyes.
I already closed it, my window, so I can't remember who that Mills. Was. Gross.
You're giving her the MVP? I don't want
to, Okay, they had to have done something like eyedropped or something weird.
Her acting for that portion of it? 5 stars.
She didn't flinch in
10
eyelid.
Out of 10. That's not even acting. That's just real life amazingness.
Just I not having a soul.
Yeah, living in the late 60s as a woman.
Yeah, like she was there. She knew it. She gets MVP.
Whatever happened to her to make her like that? I'm sure it was Fraser Hines' fault.
Oh no.
Edit it out.
Oh no.
Cody.
I knew the answer before I had to screw with the audio bullcrap. Oh, it was the set designer for changing a set to look like a quarry.
Terry.
Ray London.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Man, that was quick. Terry, best producer on this podcast.
He's just got the page open.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't be Fraser Hines to open anything.
How dare any of you pick anyone different? He murdered a guy in cold blood with his bare hands.
No, he didn't. He pushed him away.
Yeah.
But he wanted
to. He hurt his wrist.
And then he broke into the Croton enclosure, messed shit up, and escaped all by himself.
He crumbled when he was pinched and is a smooth brain.
But was he crouching towards the camera trying to flash it? No.
Okay. For next time, the return of a monster we have encountered before, during the Second Doctor's era. It is called The Seeds of Death. It is 6 episodes.
Do you want to tell us who it is, or is it a surprise?
Are we supposed to guess from the title?
No, you'll turn it on and watch it, and that's when you'll know.
Is it the insect planet again?
That was not the Second Doctor.
Oh, dang.
Pay attention to all my words.
I don't know if this podcast could survive another insect series.
They're definitely going to be in a quarry.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll land in a quarry.
I do remember watching this one, and I think if I remember, I've only watched it once, and it was 10 years ago. If my memory serves, it's wicked boring. But we'll see.
Great.
I think it's a lot of talking on a spaceship.
Where there's a quarry.
Yeah, I don't think it's any quarries. I think it's a lot of spaceship
it's
stuff.
It's a mining ship.
Anyway, anyone got anything they want to talk about?
No.
No.
It's been an hour, almost. By the time Alex finishes the song, it'll be an hour. That was your cue, Alex. This has been Married to Who, our episode on the Crotons. If you'd like to participate, you can do so by joining our Twitter at Married to Who Pod. If you want to listen to any episodes that are not within the 100 most recent ones, you can do so on our website, marriedtowho.com. On behalf of myself, Jake, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex, and our producer, Terry, thank you so much for listening. Please join us next time for the Seeds of Death. Bow,